The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Hey, grandkids, welcome back to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. We are ever so close to recording our 200th podcast, but until then, you'll have to tolerate number 199, and with me in this journey is one Dusty Giebink. How you doing, Dusty?
I crowbarred Jeremy out of the way to get the spot.
Well, did you beat him with the crowbar, or did you just like have to pry his fingers off a tall building so he fell to his death?
Right, one of those jaws of life things. Scrape him off, and then scrape him off the sidewalk. So, whatever. He was being rather talkative on audios lately, so it's nice, get a fresh voice in there, even if it's just mine. Get them to shut the hell up. So.
Well, that's what we are trying to do a little bit more around here these days, is to make sure that no one talks too much.
I appreciated the time off. I have to say, for a while, it seems like every year for a long stretch of time it's just you and me. And while I don't mind that, I like to get some different voices on there, so thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah, well, hopefully here soon after we have some vows exchanged, we can get our other partner in crime back. Oh, okay, yeah, exactly.
it's you, me, and Jeremy, right? There's another guy.
I thought there was. I don't know. Maybe the memory is just getting a little bit scratchy. Maybe if
I don't know, but if there is a fourth guy, I bet he's a spineless, ballless prick who takes shit down under a little bit of pressure. I bet that's the kind of guy the fourth guy is. I don't know.
Oh.
Grow a pair, really, Jesus. What happened?
Yeah, no, I did not have to give that speech. Jeremy gave that one.
Good. What is it? Every time, look, and I mean, you probably know what I'm talking about because you were married, and you might agree with this too. Guys meet a girl. And at first it's like, oh, she's so cool. It's great being with her, and she lets me do whatever I want, whenever I want to do it. And then when it gets time to marry them, everything changes. And you're in shackles. And whoop, there go your nuts, and everything is different. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have seen that happen on more than one occasion. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I did not fall into that category, but
right.
Things did not go so well anyway. So.
Right. Yeah, having it not go that way cost you it, maybe. I don't know. But, fuck it. That's my...
Oh, man. Yep. But, there are some other ballless, spineless pricks also. And they have
they
to
are.
Be our main topic of conversation today. Mm-hmm. We are going to base the whole episode off of a Mount Rushmore of bad announcing.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, we talked about this off the air. You could go historic. There's some historic good choices. Or you could go all current, and it seems like there's enough to fill that spot currently as well as historically. There is some really bad announcing happening right now. It's almost enough to make you wish, you know, that there weren't announcers and you just watch the action and listen to the ambient noise of the crowd. You know, that would probably be better at this point. So.
Yeah, you know, that would be kind of interesting if you could ever do that with sports. Because
mm-hmm.
I've tried to go absolutely no sound.
I can't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I can't do it.
Yep.
I need
to hear something. I don't know why. That's probably my hang-up because I'm so used to it being that way. But, yeah, there needs to be some noise. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, I've done it a number of times, especially, like, I'm the worst during a hockey playoff. And it's just like, oh,
yeah.
They're just fucking pissing me off.
Yeah.
Those guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And then, you know, it's just like, I turn it off for, like, maybe 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, protest is over. Like, I just can't handle not hearing the puck hit the stick or hit the boards. Like, if I had just heard the ambient noise, I might be able to tolerate that whole situation.
Yes. One thing I do, or did do, I should say, I did do this in the 90s, and I if I was watching a Brewers game or a Cubs game, I would mute the TV and turn on the radio broadcast so I could hear Euchre or Harry Carey. Because that was better than the TV announcer. So that was one thing I could do to kind of, you know, beat the system. Harry Carey, by the way, not a good announcer, but an excellent announcer. Just drunken madness.
Yeah, I heard him quite a number of times, and I'm not even going to say I know what the quality of his announcing was one way or the other, but I certainly did enjoy his announcing.
Absolutely.
So, I'm glad we had our first animal-related appearance here tonight. Maybe my dogs will get into the act too. Here, they've decided to wake up when I started yapping.
Yeah, I heard they're snoring right now.
Yes, well, the one's licking himself now, and the other one's staring out the window, which is always a gateway to barking occurring.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the gateway drug. The window.
Pet owners, don't let your kids get addicted to window.
Oh man.
But
so who do you want to start with? Because we got a buffet line of horrible here.
Well,
it's like going
to
Old Country Buffet, you know? You got your choice of a number of different shitty items.
Well, this one got bumped from last week's show because I can't believe that I've gotten to the point where I dislike an announcer more than Michael Cole or Mike Tenay. Like,
Someone
has aggravated me enough. And that person is Kevin Kelly for Ring of Honor. And he has done it in the fantastically short span of 8 months. Like, I started watching their broadcast at the top of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And what really put me over the edge was this one spot. It was from a couple of weeks ago. They had this new wrestler in there. And he was talking about the Kappa Veda style of wrestling.
Okay.
Or of Kung Fu. and that it was Brazilian. I'm like, hold on, that sounds kind of familiar, but it doesn't quite sound right to me. Like some, and I was like, oh, I know what it is. They had mentioned in Prime Wrestling, they had mentioned this capoeira style of kung fu.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, I wonder if that's the same thing.
Right.
So the broadcast goes on, and he says capoeira a couple of times. And then someone finally feeds a line to Nigel, and he says,
do you mean?
He goes, do you mean capoeira? He goes, that's, that's what I'm being told is the correct pronunciation. Well, and it's, he uses the capoeira once, but then, like, the next time he goes to mention it, already in a match that's maybe 5 minutes long, the guy is averaging mentioning his style of fighting once a minute. So that's
right.
A problem in and of itself.
Yeah.
Then
even
he goes,
if he's getting it right, that's bad. Yeah.
Even if he's right, it's bad. But then he's like, oh, capoeira, capoeira, whatever it's called. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude. Like, if they told Nigel to correct you on air, and they kept it on top of this, since
right.
it's a taped program.
Yeah, it's a taped program. Thank you. That's exactly what the first words were going to be out of my mouth. You can change it. You can edit it. It's not live.
Yeah, there were just...
Everybody in that company is asleep. Like your dogs used to be before they started looking out the window. What the fuck is happening?
Yeah, and that incident just completely drove me over the edge. Like, I had been considering him for my George Washington of my Mount Rushmore for...
the prime slot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Since George Hill found the country, he's already always going to be... even a little bit higher than Thomas Jefferson for me, just personally.
Right.
Even if I should like Thomas Jefferson because he is an architect, but
he is. He had several mistresses too, I believe. So.
Yeah, quite a couple.
Great guy. No, here's what I do. Okay.
Okay.
I got an example. I just thought of this too, so I don't have to even speak generically. I can tell you exactly. If I don't know something at work, I'll write it down, okay? Here's an example. Like, we have to call newspapers to confirm they got the inserts we printed for them, right? Real important job I have, okay? So that's one of the things I do. So, and sometimes I have to call Ohio. And there's a city in Ohio that is spelled E-L-Y-R-I-A, right?
Correct.
And I'm looking at that, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that. So I got my contact person to pronounce it for me, and then I wrote it down, you know, phonetically, so that now when I call them, I can say, you know, the blank Chronicle or whatever the paper is, you know?
Correct.
So,
there you go. If anyone's wondering, it's Elyria.
Elyria, yes. So, you know, you don't know the name of a move or a name of a style or whatever, and Nigel gets on there and corrects you, immediately write it down phonetically so you have it. There. So now when you want to say it, 80 times a minute, you can look down at your notebook and go, okay, that's how you say it. So the blank style. Bam. Now you nail it. And if you nail it enough times, you'll memorize it. It's simple.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not even like it's some type of a surprise
right.
that this guy is wrestling. So, I mean,
right.
A, you can do that kind of prep work before the program even starts.
Of course, right. You don't even have to do what I just laid out.
Oh, yeah, that's what made it so mind-numbingly terrible. I was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, my brain is just melting right now.
Yeah, right. No, there's no way that should happen. And it makes you look low rent.
Yes, it does. And so does airing your HD program in non-HD format when fans or people that are attempting to watch your product are watching it. Do. Oh, that was really aggravating this past week, too, on their part. No HD on my feed, even though it's in the HD station. It's just like, oh, my gosh.
Nickelodeon does that too, by the way.
Oh.
I think a lot of stations do that.
Gotcha. Now, I think I've seen it mostly in HD, so I can't bust the chops too much in that department.
Okay.
But I think that's why it was also noticeable. It's just like, huh? What?
Yeah, right.
Oh, so do you have anyone in your realm there that you would consider, as I put it there, your George Washington spot? Is there someone that really comes to mind for you right off the bat?
Well, the most prominent person, I'm going historic with the prominent spot. To me, the worst announcer of all time is David Crockett from the NWA. Do yourself a fucking favor and try to, go on the torrent sites or go on YouTube and find some old NWA stuff. He teamed regularly with Tony Schiavone. Jim Cornette sometimes joined the booth to make it a three-man booth. Go seek out David Crockett and just learn.
Now,
what it's like to be the worst announcer in the history of the planet.
Now, just for my own interest, what would he have been around right? Because wasn't the NWA still NWA when they moved to TBS?
At first, yeah, I believe so.
Was he still announcing then?
Because
I'm just wondering if. Because I'm just wondering if I had ever heard him, because I don't really recall who the announcers were at that time frame.
You know a year? If you give me a year, I could probably nail it.
Well, I stopped watching, really, for quite a while in 91.
Okay.
So it would have been... Yeah, it would have been late '80s. I would imagine when I finally got cable, because we did not have cable for quite a good portion of my childhood.
So I believe by the late '80s, we're talking about Jim Ross, Bob Caudle.
Oh, okay.
A perfectly respectable duo. David Crockett, I believe, more early to mid '80s.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I will definitely have to check that out on the YouTube at some point.
And in fact, I just looked it up, and he won Worst Television Announcer Award in the Wrestling Observer in 86, 87, and 88. So that nails his time frame right there.
Wow, that's impressive to take those honors home for three straight years.
That's he's doing some yeoman's work there. Yes. So.
Wow, that is brutal, man.
Mhm.
So, was there something in particular that he tended to get wrong then, or was there a reason why he was so inept?
Well, here's a few things that struck me. One is he was very serious about what he was doing. Like, Cornette would always try to crack him up, and it would never work. So there's that element. It's just completely dull as dishwater, serious commentary. And then the other thing that strikes me is there would be long pauses in between words for no reason. And that's really interesting when you're on the air listening to that, you know?
Yes, it is.
Like, no! Dusty! He hit him! You know, like that, right? You're falling asleep. And
yeah.
I don't know where is Tony Schiavone when this is happening, you know? Like, you kind of got to just steamroll the guy when he's doing stuff like that. So shame on Tony, too. Although Tony was good enough, I think, to avoid being on my list. That's just a general complaint. You know, you got to know how to deal with the guy when the guy is a complete schmuck. Just smother him, you know? So. Anyway.
Yeah, that certainly would have made some sense. And, yeah, I would not, because for some reason I feel like I remember when I first heard Tony Schiavone, I didn't think he was terrible. But
right.
Then sometimes...
There was a time when he was pretty darn good, actually, so...
Yeah. Like, when I first heard him, I was like, man, I really like this guy. But then when I was watching during the Attitude Era, I suppose...
Horrible.
Monday Night Wars, I was like, oh my gosh, what happened here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a guy who didn't give a shit anymore. So, I mean, you could put him on your list, but I think he has enough goodwill to avoid being on there, in my opinion. But David Crockett does not.
Oh, man. Well, there's one guy that did that pausing thing this past Monday.
Yeah.
Because he is so good at his job that he has been twice been given the only announce spot on both SmackDown and Raw within the past couple of weeks here. One, as I like to call him, Mitchell Cool, or as the WWE continues to call him, Michael Cole.
Right.
He's on there, and I mean, it's like that's why I can't believe that Kevin Kelly is like overtaken Michael Cole in my book, because
I know that takes some work.
Yeah, I mean, that guy, I mean, was it just me at the beginning of the program before The Miz came down?
Oh, God.
That he was just, there were times where he was just, like, not even calling the action. I'm like,
right.
What's going on here, dude? Like, you're just silent right now.
Well, I was terrified when it was revealed that he was alone, you know?
Uh-huh.
He was going it alone and Lawler wasn't there. I'm like, oh, no, you know?
Yeah, that's perfectly understandable reaction to have.
Like, I don't know, like petrified, you know? You know, not like a gun is being held in my head, but something just below that. You know, that kind of petrified. So.
Oh, man.
And he lived up to it, I'll tell you what. Like, he doesn't, he's been in the business for 900 years now. And he still has no clue, you know? Like, some people pick things up along the way. I'm trying to think of a good example. But you know what I mean. Just, like, you're in the business long enough. Like, if I was in architecture for 20 years, along the way, I'd become a mediocre architecture guy, you know?
Right.
Just because you can't not be if you're doing something for so long. Can't afford not to. But for some reason, he keeps his job with just the most basic level of understanding of how to do it. It's infuriating.
It's completely... And, like, they keep on... You know, I just remember the one thing that was always being said was that, you know, Vince McMahon wanted somebody young-looking.
Right.
And they now have Josh Matthews on the payroll, who is much younger-looking.
Yes.
And I'm going to call some no homo on this, is definitely better looking than Michael Cole.
Totally agree.
And
goes without saying, much better announcer.
Yeah, he knows the moves and actually pays attention to them most of the time when they're going on in the ring.
Right. A little bit important, in my opinion. Pay attention to the action that you're supposed to be calling, you know? Just a thought. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, and that was just another infuriating part of that apocalypse on Monday, was the fact that then he gets The Miz down at ringside. And then he proceeds to be more worried about talking to The Miz than he is calling the matches half the time.
Right.
And, I mean, it was really sad. I do believe that The Miz called him out at one point for not calling the match.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Because The Miz is there to try to, you know, kind of get himself over and kind of get the action over, too. And Cole just wasn't getting it, you know? Like, you can use this guy to help you understand what's happening in the ring, but he just he doesn't have a clue.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, it was just so rough, and it's just like, why did you get the idea to do this twice?
Right.
And then the other aspect to it was that, I don't know if the, now, I don't know if you heard that SmackDown or not, but they had, like, a carousel of guest announcers.
I haven't watched SmackDown lately. I got a plead, so...
Okay. Well, no, I don't know if there's really any help to be had. I think it's more of maybe just a question then. They had... What they ended up doing is basically bringing down someone for each match that either... feuded with one of the wrestlers or was the main feud with the wrestler and they were, you know, fighting somebody else.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And would that have helped out at all this week to help improve what was happening at the announce booth since The Miz didn't really have any...
No. I mean, that strategy could definitely have helped. Absolutely.
Okay.
It would have ended up being better than what we had, so I don't see anything wrong with it, you know?
Okay, and I mean, I don't know, I mean, did The Miz do okay, or was he as bad as I thought he was, too?
He was pretty bad, yeah. But again, Cole didn't help matters. So it's hard. It's a tainted jury, really. He did bad enough on his own. Sure, absolutely.
And I'm trying to think of what there was just one part last night, and it just seemed like it was just kind of vintage I'm looking at my almost five and definitely half-assed review here. See,
which you can find every week on stuntgranny.com, by the way.
Oh, man.
Unless Eric pulls it. Don't say anything controversial.
Oh, man. Oh, no, I don't know. I'm not finding it right now, at least not in enough time to, make the point of it. But, yeah, I thought there was about one moment where I'm like, oh, okay. And it felt like it was kind of a reality TV moment for him, and it just kicked back into his instincts on The Real House there, mm-hmm. or whatever the shit he was in.
Whatever show that is, yeah.
Oh, Real World, there we go.
Real World, yeah.
Okay, thank goodness I killed that brain cell in the meantime.
Yeah. See, kids, drinking does do some good. You can forget about stupid shit you don't need to know about. So.
Oh, man, yep, I've remembered all the architecture stuff, so fuck this arcane wrestling knowledge.
Excellent.
Oh, man. Well, I guess, I don't know, is there anything else to be said for Michael Cole, I guess?
I don't know. It's been a long, long time of really bad announcing. So he's almost a historically bad figure now. Not just a currently bad, he's also historically bad as well, because his suck goes back to the late 90s. So,
yeah, no, I mean, he really is. He's kind of getting to that point where it's just like, damn, and I don't know how long he's been around, and I'm not even looking, well, I could look it up right now.
I'm going to say 97 or 98.
So, yeah, because, I don't even remember, I've considered him terrible for so long now that I can't remember if I ever thought that he was good at all.
I can definitively tell you I didn't. But I did take a little, 97, by the way, middle of 97. I took amusement in when he was teamed with JBL, and JBL would rip the shit out of him. So that was my favorite Michael Cole moment, but it had more to do with the other guy, obviously. So...
yeah, it's 97 to the present.
Yeah.
Backstage interviewer from 97 to 99, SmackDown from 99 to 08.
Mm-hmm.
And then Raw.
Right, when they fucked JR over in the draft, yeah.
Yeah, that's just impressive.
Yeah.
I really don't. And I mean, that's just another one of those things, too, you keep on harping on the bad stuff, and it's hard not to. It's just like, this is a no-brainer decision. And then you just slap your head, and you just stop. It's been said enough at this point, so you just kind of, blow it off at that juncture.
But it's driving me crazy that they don't promote Josh Matthews to the lead announcer role on Raw, because he's got the look, he's got the knowledge, he's got everything you need that they're looking for. I don't get it.
I don't understand. Neither do I, my good sir. Neither do I. That's why Michael Cole is making my list at the number two slot.
And I will humbly agree with you.
Oh, yeah, because if he's been bad since 99, that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
That is more than a decade of destruction.
Yeah. A decade of destruction.
Good on him.
Yeah.
Well, who would you like to include Elf on your little Mount Rushmore there? I guess we each have, I don't know if you included Kevin Kelly on yours or not.
He didn't immediately come to mind. He's an honorable mention on my list.
Gotcha.
So, one guy who has driven me crazy for about the same amount of time as Cole, a little bit longer, is Mike Tenay. So I'm putting him in the third spot, the Roosevelt spot, I guess. So Mike Tenay fucking sucks. So you can disagree with me if you want to. And the Wrestling Observer gives him the Best Announcer of the Year award all the time because he's friends with Dave. And, yeah, it has no basis in reality because he sucks. He's just awful. So.
Yeah, no, I have been on his case for quite some time, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another one where it's almost scary to me to think that I'm like, man, have they been, like, I can't believe that it's going through my head that there's a possibility that Taz and Mike Tenay have somehow managed to not suck enough to be the best announcing team right now in professional wrestling. It's not saying a whole lot.
That gives me shivers, yeah.
But, like, it's honestly to that point. Like, I don't remember, it's kind of funny that at least right, you know, in recent memory here on TNA, there hasn't been a time where I wanted to strangle Mike Tenay.
Hmm. Well, like, you're a better man than I. I
want
to strangle him just looking at him, you know? Just looking at him, you think he's definitely got a little kid backstage tied up, you know? He's going to take advantage of some poor 13-year-old boy, you know?
Well, there certainly is that part.
There's that element, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, if there's and I mean, I guess that can kind of apply back a little bit to Michael Cole, too, really. Like, I don't think Jim Ross's look... yeah, okay, he's not the most attractive guy. I understand that. Like,
right.
I'm not going to argue that part. But, you know, I think everyone kind of likes the Stetson look, especially in the wrestling crowd.
Yeah.
I would say that might only be second popular a rodeo crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying there might be a couple of wrestling fans in rodeo. so, you know, he has this kind of a look that goes with wrestling.
Agreed.
And he's definitely a genuine Oklahoma guy.
Yeah.
You know, whether, you know, you want to scrutinize his exact ties with the Sooners or not. But, so, yeah, he has, like, a look. Like, Mike Tenay, he doesn't have a look. Like, even Michael Cole, he has a look.
Mike Tenay has a look. It's a definitive look. It's a creepy look.
Yeah. I mean, that's just one that it just, you know, yeah, like what Vince McMahon says, it's one of those things where, yeah, things just get taken to two extremes sometimes. It's just like, man, no, you've really got to fix your look here, dude. Like, don't go with the slicked back hair.
Yeah.
Maybe get that mole removed so it doesn't look even worse.
Right.
That really adds to the I'm doing this kind of a look to me.
Yeah.
Oh. And I can't believe that he hasn't really angered me that much recently.
Well, he just drives me crazy, so.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. Maybe I'm just getting softer. I'm not paying attention when I'm watching that show.
Right. The bad stuff hypnotizes you, you know.
That is certainly possible.
Mm. Well, so who would be your third guy?
Well, no, I mean, he is it. I mean, he's still that bad in my eyes.
Okay.
I mean, he just, you know, he really did drive me, he's driven me bonkers. Because he was in, because I remember, like, it cracked me up, because I said this a while ago, and I guess it always bears repeating, like, I couldn't believe people liked him when he was in the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, the Professor Mike Tenay, he knows so much, like, he knows about all the moves, he knows how to say them, this, that, and the other thing, and I'm like,
right.
Even then, before I posted on a single message board, I was just like, this guy is awful. Like,
yes, thank you.
And Jeremy would like tell me, he goes, oh, no, people love him. And I'm like,
Really? Yeah. I had the same reaction. Because I didn't get online until like the late 90s.
Okay.
And, you know, you read on there like, oh, everybody likes him? It's kind of shocking, you know?
Yeah, no, it really was. Like, when he informed me of that stuff, I'm like, you've got to be pulling my leg. Like, there's no way that you aren't lying to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you see it, it's just like, no, he wasn't fucking lying to me. Like,
everybody online loves the guy, and I don't understand. There's not a single likable thing about him. His announcing wasn't good.
Yeah, and he never
knew what Ultimo Dragon meant, you know? Give me a break.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't ever think, like, his grasp of moves was ever very good.
No.
It's just like, for this guy who's supposed to be, you know, this smart dude, like, why is he missing some basic stuff here? Like,
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, trust me, just because he maybe hasn't annoyed me for the past 6 months, if he's provided me with about 13 years of terrible announcing.
Well, thank you. I'm glad, honestly, I'm glad to see I'm not crazy on this. You know, you feel like you're going insane when you read all this stuff online about him.
Yeah. And if anybody's saying it in the present day, they just really need to be kicked in the teeth at this juncture.
No. Right.
Because, yeah, that's just a travesty.
Well, so who do you got for the fourth spot, then? You got so far you got Michael Cole, you got Mike Tenay, and you got Kevin Kelly. That's your list.
Yep, and the only, like, old-time one that I can remember, because, as you mentioned, we kind of did a little talk about this ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one that I can just remember being so dry, and where did I put it? Where did that name get to? Marty O'Neill from AWA. Because not only did I watch that, I mean, and I did watch that back in the day when it originally aired on whatever syndicated network carried it in the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But then when you get the chance to relive your childhood and watch some of those old tapes, and then also proceed to realize that a bunch of them are famous stars now, or
right.
famous alcoholics, one of the two.
Yeah.
Wow, like, it was just so, like, it didn't, his announcing in no way enhanced that product.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that type of wrestling was boring to start with. Like, I would have to say that, you know, you almost have to take, like, a baseball kind of a tone to it where you have some time, lots of time to fill in between pitches.
Yeah.
And it just seems like there are more antidotes told for baseball announcers than for other announcers. Not that they don't all do it.
A real quick story about that. I just a couple days ago listened to a Dodger game. And Vin Scully is talking a mile a minute about God knows what. That guy is insane. And he's like a human encyclopedia of knowledge. And I'm sure some of it's being fed to him. But at the rate he's delivering it, it can't possibly all be given to him on notes. He has to know some of this just with the sheer veracity of how he's firing it off. And it's amazing. Nick Punto went to blah, blah, blah school. He's 5'9", 195. He played for this team, and this team. He was drafted in this year with this overall pick. Strike two on the corner. You know, it's just constant information, you know? It's like if you went to 100 websites a minute or something, you know, and you're just barraged with words. So...
Yeah, no, I remember you hitting me up with an IM with a similar comment.
What's that?
I remember you hitting me up this past week with a similar comment.
Yeah. Mhm.
And I had a good laugh because there had been a couple of times, and I haven't gotten the chance to listen as much recently, despite the Pirates' good fortune.
Yeah.
More evening activities kind of prevent listening to the Pirate games. But on XM, they only had, so I think now you can get home and away announcers.
Okay.
But up until, I believe, this year, you only got the home announcers, no matter what the game was, unless it was like a World Series game or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They could just dedicate the channels to each announce crew.
Yeah.
So I heard Vin Scully a number of times, and I kind of laughed because I'm like, yeah, I kind of remember it being that way. You didn't realize that the guy had a partner.
Right! You'd have no clue if you were just casually listening.
Yeah. Yeah, like
he absolutely does not need one. In no way does he need a partner. That's wasted money.
Yeah, no, because they were not doing any of what the kids would call color commentary at all.
Right.
Oh, man. So, yeah, no, I just, like I said, I got a good chuckle out of that because I was like, yeah, I kind of remember it being that way when I listened to the games against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And it's always impressive when the guy's like 84 years old and just firing it off that quick.
Yeah, the guy's incredible. Really weird. But, yeah, most announcers not like that. Most announcers start talking about fans in the crowd, you know? Harry Carey. I'll never forget this one. We'll bring it full circle on Harry Carey. I remember an exchange he once had with whoever the fuck the other commentator was for the Cubs. Who gives a shit? Steve Stone or something. Who cares? But
yeah,
Harry was, you know, drunk, obviously. Well, he's like, get a load of the guy wearing the big sombrero, right?
Uh-huh.
And then there's a long pause, and Steve Stone is like, he's just wearing a regular hat, Harry. So that's the kind of stuff you hear. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. Swear to God that happened.
That is outstanding. Oh, man.
I'd love to live a day wearing Harry Carey's, you know, viewpoint just to see what the world was like for him. Oh, well.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, no, that's who, now that we've talked about more baseball announcers, that would be my listing for my Mount Rushmore there, as far as the announcers go. And the funny thing is that, well, you kind of mentioned Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
He's
a borderline guy, you know.
Yeah. And there are a couple of guys, like the Keller commentary guys today, they're not exactly lighting the world on fire either. But that is how at least okay they are, maybe is the best word to put it, because I wouldn't make them more than okay, that they are at their jobs. Like, they are no more than okay. Like,
right.
Jerry Lawler doesn't do a whole lot for me.
No.
Nigel McGuinness.
No.
Not really doesn't do much for me. And Taz doesn't really do anything for me anymore, and really hasn't for quite some time.
Right. And I don't think they're bad enough to go on my list, but they're, you know, they're pretty bad, you know. If somebody felt like putting current-day Jerry Lawler on their list, I would not blame them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's what's so bad about at least the other three that I mentioned. It's just like you can't even make it a consideration to go, in my eyes. I think you might be right that Jerry Lawler might be the only guy that, you could go with these days. Just. And that might be another one that's more of a tenure thing, too.
Right, yeah.
'Cause,
in my opinion, he was so good for such a long period of time that I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But.
Oh, yes. That is certainly understandable. But, and yeah, I mean, I guess that would be also one of the reasons why I'd take him off the list. Because I think I said to Jeremy last week that, for the most part, like, his ending, that end couple of years with Jim Ross, probably not his best work.
Right.
But he didn't really start mailing it in until Cole. So I guess since he took over Raw in 2008, and I don't know, it took a while for that ouster to happen, so I don't know if it's just been Michael Cole since 2009, maybe.
Yeah, we'll say that. Mm-hmm.
Without looking his stupid Wikipedia page back up again.
No, you can't.
I could, but no, I just feel like I really didn't need to. But, yeah, so 3 years has really only been his bad time frame for me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that certainly lends to your theory there. Did you have a fourth? Because Dave Crockett, Mike Today, and Michael Cole. Who goes for you, sir?
Special spot in my heart for this guy. You know, if you used to write for the Torch and you try to be a hot shot on message boards and you even get into it with members of Stunt Granny on certain message boards and you steal your funniest material from Kevin Smith movies and you wear Hawaiian flower t-shirts 80,000 years after they're in style, you probably deserve a spot on Dusty's list.
Uh, Yes. Good old Mark Madden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really sad that my favorite reporter in the Pittsburgh area feels the need to visit his radio show on a weekly basis.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I understand it. He probably gets so many listeners that it's good exposure. That's probably his thinking on it, but...
Right.
But you still wish it wouldn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when Bobby Bowden would go on Sid Rosenberg's show in Miami, and you're like, no, just stay on Levitard, please, you know? But, you know, whatever. This shit happens.
I'm trying to remember what the argument with the Stunt Granny member was all about, because I really I remember that happening, but I'm a little foggy in that department.
I don't even know if you were around when it happened. This was early days Torch. I can't remember what it was exactly, but after it happened, Eric took some time off the message board, and that, because he just wanted to, like, let things settle down or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that led to my favorite post of all time. Somebody posted, hey, I haven't seen fill-in-the-blank screen name that Eric was using at the time in a long time. I wonder what he's up to. And Eric, because Eric would be on all the time, but he would never post, he responded with, oh, hey. and that was how he came back and started posting again. So.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
You'll need to make a big deal out of it.
Right. Right.
Oh, man. Well, Eric seems to like to get into shit. I don't know. Was there anything particularly outstanding? I guess not outstanding, but terrible about Mark Madden's announcing style, or was it just the whole kit and caboodle?
Well, I mean, what I said there, one of the things that really drove me crazy was, you know, the stealing from Kevin Smith, because those movies were popular at the time. And, I don't know. Just, he was trying to be edgy, you know? And
uh-huh.
He was trying to be like a more controversial version of Bobby Heenan, even though he supposedly hated Bobby. And, really, I can't stand him from before, when he claimed he got Bill Watts fired in 93. Even though Watts was never fired, he quit. So the guy is a scumbag for so many reasons that you just want to put him on every worst of list just you know, because. So.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that, because I remember being completely annoyed with him at the time being. But that's a... at least one for me, but and that's kind of impressive. Like, he wasn't on for very long, was he?
No, not really.
That's called making an impact.
Yeah, he's like the mirror image of Brock Lesnar. Made a tremendous impact in a short amount of time.
Oh, man. Hey, yeesh. Well,
I guess if I can try to put it in words, he's just a very unlikable person. You know?
Yeah, no, because I just... What the hell did he say? That's... that was hilarious. This past year, that moron, because I was trying to remember what incident he got into with the, he was talking to, he was talking about the one Penguin's star center of Evgeny Malkin.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy had just had ACL surgery the previous year.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, I don't want to hear any excuses from you apologists about how terrible Malkin is playing right now.
Right.
And that he's just a worthless, you know, another worthless draft pick that they decided to keep around or some such nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The guy only won a Conn Smythe for you in a scoring title. You know, he's fucking garbage. Well, then he claimed for the rest of the season, after Malkin went on a complete and utter rampage for the rest of the season.
Right.
And won the league MVP, that he never was trashing him.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
It's just like, really, dude? Like, it's like, you do realize that when you type something into Twitter, people can save that and then go, you posted this.
Remember?
Do you remember that? This is you. yeah, so, yeah, no, he continued, and again, that's another reason. It's just incidents like that don't seem to have, you know, kept him outside of, or just done him good in professional wrestling. It's also been quite the deal, just in general, radio.
Yep. Yeah, and I feel bad for you, being in the Pittsburgh market, being a Pittsburgh fan, and having him be such a prominent member of that.
So. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, sometimes it is good to not live in the market that you root for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is just, it gets a little too overwhelming. I don't care whose fan base it is, because one of my buddies just about a year ago, he moved back to the Pittsburgh area. And it took him all of about 1 month to be completely fed up with the talk radio and how doomsday everybody was. I'm like, oh, I'm glad I can just pick and choose, and I don't even have that temptation of of wanting to listen to the radio about what's going on with the teams.
Right.
And it just seems to be the case. Like, it seems to be the case with a lot of things. You can at least stay away from that stuff when, you know, when
you're
you need
to.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree with that.
Oh, man. Well, sir, I have got to admit, I am, am I still here?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I heard a weird bonk on my phone. I was wondering if I hung up. But anywho, that was what I was going to get around to, actually.
You're
going to
hang up?
Yeah, I mean, unless you had something else to include, I think we have done a pretty good job of talking about a Mount Rushmore of bad announcers, even with a couple of discrepancies in our lists.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with any of your choices. If there were more precedents on that wall, Kevin Kelly would be on there, believe me.
Oh. Outstanding, and I didn't even talk about his look. He's not quite Mike Tenay pedophile, but he is kind of creepy doughboy pedophile.
He's creepy looking in a different way, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeesh. Well, I think I'm done talking about creepy pedophiles, though. I mean, really.
Okay.
An hour's worth is probably about enough.
I would say.
So I am going to go grab a sippy time beer, and I'm going to leave the out to you.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFranco, for creepy pedophiles everywhere, for scribbling pictures of turkeys while you're doing an audio, I am Dusty Giebink. And this has been Stunt Granny Audio number 199, and we will try to do better on the spectacular 200th edition. Peace.
Yeah.